The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Once upon a time in Radioland, a towering man strode to a silver microphone and announced to the world these words.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am that announcer, and my name is Todd Wilkerson. And this is the show I announce.
I'm announcing it right now, in fact.
And you have a front row seat to history.
Here's Eric.
Hey, thanks for getting around to me, Todd. I appreciate it. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. And this is the show where we get to talk about everything. It's the show about everything. Included in everything is the subject of the book I'm holding in my hand. It's called 100 Bible Verses That Made America, Defining Moments That Shaped Our Enduring Foundation of Faith. This is so up my alley. I said, if we can get the author in the studio, maybe we could have some fun. And here he is. Robert Morgan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
now,
Eric.
I've got to explain to folks, you were for many years the lead pastor at a church in Nashville.
Yes, at the Donaldson Fellowship. I started in 1980. And so I was there as the lead pastor for 39 years. And now I'm still there, but my role has changed to teaching pastor.
Wow. But now, what kind of a church is the Donaldson Fellowship?
It's a Baptist church, and we're located in the Opryland area.
Right.
And it's just been a wonderful place. I've been very fortunate to be at the same church for, well, on January the 1st, it was 40 years exactly.
That is stunning.
So I'm very fortunate.
What a blessing. Well, that's incredible. Well, let me ask you. You know, when I saw the book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America, I thought, boy, is this up my alley. And I wanted to ask you the first question. How did you come to write this book? What is it about you and your life that made you decide you want to put this in between two covers?
Well, first of all, I love the Bible. I'm a teacher of the Bible. A lot of what I've done all my life is teaching the Bible. But I'm also a lover of history, which began during my freshman year of college because of a professor that inspired me. And so I've done a lot of historical reading. I'm not a academically trained historian. I'm an armchair historian, but I've done a series of books on the history behind the great hymns of the faith called Then Sings My Soul. And I've done books on Christian history. But as we came into this divisive political season, I thought, what does this nation need more than a nonpartisan, honest looking back at our nation's history to see the unvarnished truth about the role of the Bible in American history? You know, the secularists are trying to erase it, but they don't have an eraser big enough because it is so ingrained into our history.
And we haven't been teaching that. I wrote a book called If You Can Keep It, where I talk about some similar things. The more you look, the more astounding it is. And so I'm glad that you as a pastor focused in on the Bible itself and its role in our history. So for people who know nothing, they're just tuning in, what do you say to them? Where do we start? How does the Bible and why does the Bible play such a central role in this nation's history?
A good place to start is with the Pilgrims. Now, they were not the first to come into this nation. They were not the first colonizers. We had the Spanish, we had the French, and then we had English colonists that came with the vanished colony in North Carolina and Jamestown, which was secular, except for one pastor who died very quickly in Jamestown, which is where the slave trade began. But after that came the Pilgrims up in Cape Cod, and they have had such an impact on our nation that even today in secular school systems, children still dress up as pilgrims and talk about Thanksgiving. And after the Pilgrims came the Puritan migration. So you had hundreds and thousands of the best trained British subjects who were being driven out of the land because of the monarchy and because of James the First and the others, and they flooded into New England. They established Boston, and they hated slavery, and they loved the Bible, and they provided sort of the foundation, the moral, spiritual foundation, which created the influence that helped establish the colonies and provoked eventually the First Great Awakening and set the stage for the Declaration of Independence. So trying to remove the history and the impact of all of that from America is like trying to remove the statue, the pedestal from the Statue of Liberty. It's a very good place to begin when it comes to American
image.
Christian history.
That's a great image, trying to remove the pedestal from the Statue of Liberty. Good luck with that, folks. Good luck. It's interesting because I've discovered this later in life, everything you're saying. And what shocks me, you know, once you discover this, is that I didn't learn this growing up, and it is no longer part of the culture. We're no longer teaching this. So it's like teaching math without knowing the numbers. You can't really do it. It's impossible to make sense of our history. We have for at least, I would say, 40 or 50 years neglected to teach this. It's inescapable. What you're saying is just fact. It's true. It's history. And you don't need to be a professional historian to know. It's history. But we don't do that anymore. We don't teach it anymore, which is why I'm so grateful for the book. So let's go through this history. When you say 100 Bible verses that made America, why Bible verses particularly? Like, where do we start with the Bible verses?
Well, it's because these people have all been impacted by the Bible. For example, the Pilgrims, they had this very rough voyage aboard the Mayflower.
Yes.
It was a horrible experience for them. They were caught in the gun deck, and the storms were terrible. They would have given up, I think, except right in the middle of the voyage at one of the worst times, their Bible reading for that day came from Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 is the psalm that talks about the people that went out in the sea, and they were caught up in the mountainous waves, and they fell into the valleys, but the Lord was with them and brought them to their desired haven. And that passage gave them so much confidence that their morale rallied and was strong by the time that they landed on Cape Cod. And over again, you see that there are people, men and movements, leaders, women and blacks and whites, people of every denomination, and some who didn't even believe the Bible, but they respected the teachings of the Bible. And at critical moments, there were Bible verses that spoke to them and helped them establish the morality or the enthusiasm or the mindset that was critical to America.
Well, again, this is something that if anybody really is interested in American history, they have to be interested in what we're talking about here. You cannot really tell the story of America, although we've tried. I mean, we've had, you know, a couple of generations of really secularists pushing a disjointed kind of narrative on us, people like Howard Zinn and other maniacs. So As we go through this, I know that you start in 1511. I would never have thought that we could go back that far. Who was Antonio de Montesinos, you say, and his blowtorch, Matthew 3:3? What is the first entry that's in here?
So after Columbus and the Spanish conquistadors, they were brutal to indigenous people.
Yeah.
And there was a Dominican priest who came along in Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and he saw what the Spaniards were doing to the indigenous peoples and to the Native Americans. And he roused up and preached just before Christmas the most powerful sermon, calling down the conquistadors, telling them how evil it was that they were enslaving and abusing the indigenous peoples. And it did. It was like a blowtorch. But he is revered now as the first great American hero who stood up for civil rights.
That, you know, something I have absolutely never heard of him. And what an amazing thing, because we always hear about the horrors of Columbus and his men, more than Columbus. But to hear that there was somebody who understood the truth. We're going to go to a break here. We'll be right back. Folks, the book is 100 Bible Verses That Made America.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you can order absolutely risk-free. So go online or call 800-653-2083. 800-653-2083. If you call in the next 6 minutes, you can get a free bottle with a Larry King special. 800-653-2083.
Pick up the phone right now.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Hey, folks, Mike Lindell and the team at MyPillow.com are so grateful for you. They've got an offer I don't think you can refuse. It's buy one, get one free on their incredible sheet sets. Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region with the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. He says, the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. So the Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas for a limited time. Buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 or just go to MyPillow.com, 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 and you've got to use the code ERIC. If you don't use the code ERIC, you don't get the discount. Check it out.
Our love is a lie, and so we begin, foolishly laying our hearts on the table, stumbling in. Our love is a flame, burning within. Now and then, firelight will catch us, stumbling.
Hey there,
in.
Folks. I am talking to Robert Morgan. He's a writer and speaker who serves as the teaching pastor at the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. He's the author of many books. The brand new one I'm holding in my hand, which comes out today, is called 100 Bible Verses That Made America, Defining Moments That Shaped Our Enduring Foundation of Faith. Robert Morgan, you touch on things in here that I've never heard of, and that's the greatest thing ever. Tell us about in chapter 8, it says May 31, 1638. Thomas Hooker, the father of democracy. I've never heard that appellation used for Thomas Hooker. Tell us, who was Thomas Hooker?
Thomas Hooker was a preacher. So many of the Puritans who came from England and the Puritan migration, they were trained in Cambridge, and they were driven out of England, just floods and floods of them. It was a massive brain drain from the U.K., to New England. And one of those was Thomas Hooker, and he settled in Boston. Then later he went up and helped found Hartford, and he preached liberty. You know, these people, they had been oppressed. Their sense of religious freedom had been denied them. So when they came, they not only preached spiritual freedom from sin, but they preached freedom from tyranny. And Thomas Hooker went up to Hartford, and his sermons were printed very widely, and he preached a sermon from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is the passage where Moses talked about, you know, in Deuteronomy, he is reviewing the travels of the Israelites in the wilderness. And he reviewed how he established people of integrity to be leaders of Israel. And Hooker preached a sermon on that, and it was widely not only in America, but also in England, widely. It was printed and published. And he said there that the people who we need as leaders in our nation have got to be honest people of integrity and responsive to the will of the people. And that sermon began to take hold throughout New England, the Puritans, and all across the colonies. And so in this day, you know, Connecticut is the Constitution state. And he, this man, Thomas Hooker, had a lot to do with establishing a political philosophy based on Scripture and the example of Moses that leaders need to be accountable and people of integrity.
I mean, it's a big thing. And, you know, you call him the father of democracy because what I learned through my friend Oz Guinness, and I talk about all the time, is the link between virtue and freedom. I never really understood that. That was never something that was taught to me, certainly not in public schools. And then if you go to college like I did, you're going to unlearn anything along those lines that you've learned because people mock virtue. But you're another person now telling me that at the very heart of democracy, as given to us by the founders and before the founders, are these ideas of virtue, and we get that from the Scripture. I mean, that's just an historical fact, isn't it?
It is. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And without integrity, which is defined for us in the Bible, And without these qualities which Scripture upholds and which Jesus taught, then, you know, there's no foundation there for integrity in our leadership. Even Thomas Jefferson, who famously, you know, cut portions of the supernatural elements out of the Gospels, didn't do that because he despised the gospel or despised Jesus. He relished and revered the Lord's ethical teachings, and he wanted to make sure that those ethical teachings were preserved. Now, you know, whether Jefferson, I have no idea, people in this book, if they are genuine Christians in their hearts or if they weren't. I don't think that Jefferson would be considered an Orthodox Christian. But he, in trying to make him out as somebody who didn't like Christianity because he cut up the Gospels, historians today are ignoring the fact that he did it because he revered the ethical teachings of Christ.
Yeah.
And so these things are not so much matters of interpretation as they are just clearly understanding history.
Well, I love it. And again, I love discovering things that I had no idea about. Tell us what happened with John Eliot in 1649, because, you know, these are the years that we usually skip over. We don't really think about what was happening in 1649, nor who John Eliot was. The scripture you quote here of these hundred, this is the ninth, you say, it's 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So who was John Eliot?
John Eliot was another man who came over. He was a pastor. He settled down in the area around Boston, and he was the pastor of a church. But he had a tremendous burden for evangelizing indigenous peoples. And so it's remarkable. He, you know, you mentioned that I pastored for 40 years. He was there for well over that in his relatively small church. But he was faithful every Sunday in preaching. But through the week, he would go into New England, up to Martha's Vineyard and Cape Cod and down, all up and down the New England seaboard, evangelizing the Native Americans.
I mean, I just want to say, like, we never think about this, that in the middle of the 17th century, that this could be going on. I mean, it's really an extraordinary thing, because you talk about Native Americans. I mean, it was nothing but Native Americans, except for the few colonists that had come over. And to think that this guy, you say he's 57 years from 1632 until nearly the end of the century, he was preaching in the Massachusetts area. And this is forgotten history, except for you and the few people who've preserved this.
And
I've never heard about this. You don't think about it.
Well, listen to this. Not only did thousands of Native Americans come to Christ and they established praying villages, but the Algonquin language and the other languages were very difficult, but he mastered the language, translated the Bible into their language, and Eliot's Bible is the first Bible printed in America. And you can see copies of it in the Library of Congress and the Museum of the Bible. There's a few copies left, but Eliot's Bible in the Native American languages is the oldest printed Bible in America.
That is truly, I mean, you want to talk about a labor of love. The language of the Algonquins was, as you say, extremely difficult. This is the idea that this guy could come over, learn the language, and then translate the entire Bible into this language just for these people. He clearly didn't do it for himself, for the money. He did it to reach these people. That's another part of the unknown history, is that there were so many Native Americans who embraced the good news of Jesus.
Yes, and it made a big difference, not only in their lives, but in the relations between the Indians and the colonialists. John Eliot was just amazing, and the verse that you quoted was one of the verses that really kept him going. He suffered a lot out in the wilderness, you know, going from village to village, you know, New England in the winter. My wife grew up in New England, but he said, "The Lord has called me to be a good soldier of Christ and to endure hardship." And that verse sustained him through his travels. And so this is why I'm saying behind American history are some great men and women, but behind the great men and women, there are Bible verses. And in this book, you know, every story is just about 3 pages. You could really read it. Children, as you said, aren't getting this in school.
Yeah.
But every parent or grandparent can read these stories to their children.
Yeah, they're so short and so, I mean, I'm just fascinated. I want to just kind of move along here because I've never heard of this either. November 22nd, 1739, William Tennant's Log Cabin Seminary. Tell us about this.
William Tennant was another of these ministers, and he wanted to establish a school for the training of pastors. And so outside of Philadelphia, he built a little log cabin. It didn't really amount to a whole lot physically, but he and his wife would entertain the students that came and find housing for them locally, and he taught them the Bible. And this log cabin, I describe it as the kindling wood for the Great Awakening. It was his students who came and trained in this little log cabin seminary that, and Whitfield would come and visit. But it was his students who went out preaching and brought about the Great Awakening. And the Great Awakening was the spiritual revival that paved the way, really, for the Declaration of Independence.
No question. No question about it. I mean, I have said that it's something that it's clear. That is a fact. And we need to tell that. You don't need to be a Christian to know the history. That's the history. We'll be right back. Folks, I'm talking to the author of 100 Bible Verses That Made America, Robert Morgan. We'll be right back. And nice guys get
washed away like the snow. With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Democratic Party officials in Iowa planning to release a majority of the delayed caucus results by 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Democratic presidential hopefuls have already descended on New Hampshire. The small New England state will have its say next week with the February 11th primary. The impeached President Trump will be speaking to Congress and the nation tonight on the eve of what's anticipated to be his Senate acquittal on Wednesday. China now reporting 425 deaths and more than 20,000 cases of the new coronavirus. A magnitude 5.0 aftershock has rattled southern Puerto Rico, causing some cracks but no reported injuries. On Wall Street, stocks are higher, the Dow up 464 points now, the NASDAQ ahead 191. This is SRN News.
Deborah's home was stolen. No, I don't mean thieves stole stuff. I mean scammers literally stole her home. The FBI calls title theft one of the fastest growing white-collar crimes. And this story is why you need Home Title Lock. Deborah says criminals found the title to our home online and filed fraudulent documents claiming they owned our home. Wait, it gets worse. Deborah goes on to say, I was evicted from my own home and $85,000 in equity, gone. Nobody believes you can get your home stolen this easily. This is why you need Home Title Lock, because no insurance or bank protects your home from title theft. First things first, go to HometitleLock.com and register your address to see if your home's title has been tampered with. You need to protect the legal title to your home so you don't end up like Deborah. Go to HometitleLock.com now for 60 risk-free days of protection. Again, that's HometitleLock.com, HometitleLock.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. There are over 400 programs in the Prager store, and now by becoming a Pragertopia Unlimited member, you can listen to every program in the store. Courses, lectures, show segments, even my Torah teachings. Almost everything I've ever recorded over the last 20 years, over 1,000 hours of program. Of course, Pragertopia Unlimited members get every radio show since 2009 as well. All commercial-free on demand. Wow. No, this is a big deal. This is truly a big deal, if I'm allowed to say that about my own work. For a limited time, it's only $119 for an entire year to join Pragertopia Unlimited. Get to listen to every show in the Prager store, every lecture I've given, every course. And you'll get a coupon for 50% off the Rational Bible, Genesis, which is autographed. I put my life into these works. They're meant to change your life, open up your mind, and they make a spectacular gift. Go to Pragertopia.com and sign up. Pragertopia Unlimited.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the author of 100 Bible Verses That Made America. I'm so excited about this book, Robert Morgan. This is it's just a wonderful effort that you've made. I can't think of anything else like it. I mean, you have stuff in here that I've absolutely never heard, and you'd think, where could I find this? And the answer is nowhere until now. So thank you for the great effort here. I'm just curious. I'm just kind of going through the book. October 16th, 1746. Again, this is 30 years before independence. But there's a story, the prayer that sunk a navy. What is this?
This is about Thomas Prince. He was the pastor in Boston at the Old South Church. This was when the Duke d'Anville and his fleet of ships were coming to invade New England. And they were a tremendous threat to Boston. This was, you know, during the lead up to the French-Indian War. And the French wanted to come and capture or dominate the English colonies. There was a war between France and England for the colonies. And so this massive armada was coming to American shores. And there was a day of prayer that was announced for Boston. And Thomas Prince went up in the pulpit that day. The weather was good. The church was packed. And he began lifting his hands and praying. And he said, "Oh God, send a storm to wipe out the armada." And started praying in vivid words like that. And as he prayed, suddenly the shutters began to move. And the bell began to ring in the church. And the winds picked up. And before you knew it, there was almost a hurricane.
Now, of course, today, with science, we know this is a perfect coincidence. There's no God. This stuff doesn't happen. But in those days, I mean, can you imagine there are plenty of people that would say it was a coincidence, like the parting of the Red Sea was a coincidence that the wind blew when Moses said. But you're telling me that these people in faith prayed and it was that dramatic. I mean, you know, because when prayers are answered, it normally doesn't happen exactly the way we want.
Oh, I know. Well,
but you're telling me it did.
It's not the only time in American history there have been some very dramatic answers to prayer.
I know.
They used to say about the American Revolution, there sure were a lot of divine coincidences during the Revolution, including, you know, the Washington's evacuation across the East River.
That's why I joke around, because I think to myself, do you really, you know, when you look at these things, you really have to believe in amazing coincidences happening over and over. What you just mentioned, you know, that happens at the Battle of Long Island, the Battle of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You think, really? That's one crazy coincidence that it just so happened at exactly the right time. But as you just said, there are numerous examples of this. So the one you're talking about now that happened in 1746, he prays and a storm comes.
And the armada is just wiped out. And
that's history.
And that is history. And it's also poetry, because Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem about it later, which was repeated by school children for 100 years. But do you think
today? What's that poem?
I have it in the back at the very end of it there.
I am stunned. I love Henry Wadsworth.
I mean in the back of the story.
I love Henry Wadsworth Longfellow so much. And I love his poem, Paul Revere's Rise. Yeah. It's probably my favorite poem. But I did not know that he wrote a poem called A Ballad of the French Fleet. Wow. Let me read this, actually, since we have a second here. This is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow writing about this incident. "There were rumors in the street, in the houses there was fear of the coming of the fleet and the danger hovering near. And while from mouth to mouth spread the tidings of dismay, I stood in the old South saying humbly, let us pray." You know,
and
what I love
on.
Is that
that's just
he writes about
stanza.
This.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so famous that 200 years later, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow remembers this, writes about it. It is completely forgotten today, except for you. Thank you again, because if you hadn't written this book, I would never have heard of this. I'm loving it.
And, you know, speaking of Paul Revere, I may be getting ahead of you, but when he went running towards Lexington to warn Sam Adams and John Hancock that the British were leaving Boston and coming, those two men were staying with the pastor, Jonas Clark, who was the pastor in Lexington. And They looked at Jonas Clark and said, will your church stand up against the British? And Jonas Clark said, yes, they will. And so Hancock and Adams went further, escaped. But Jonas Clark, the pastor, rang the church bell, got his members of his church together. And when the first shots were fired in the Revolutionary War, the shot heard around the world, it was to a pastor and his church members who had been trained in the biblical teachings of liberty.
I see. This is the thing. We're not teaching this, but by God's grace, you and I are talking about it so that many thousands can hear. I hope they will get a copy of your book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America, because you know and I know this is not just a hobby for us. This is vital to the future of liberty in the world, not just in America, because we have been that shining city on a hill that the whole world has looked to America and our kind of liberty. And without our kind of liberty, there wouldn't be much liberty around the world. People have looked to us. They've borrowed these ideas because we have said these aren't – we didn't trademark these ideas. They're God's ideas, and we want the whole world to be even as we are. What a wonderful thing it would be. We're going to go to another break. Folks, I'm talking to the author of a brand new book published by Thomas Nelson. Robert J. Morgan is the author of 100 Bible Verses That Made America. Honestly, this is a spectacular book, easy to read. That's the idea that it's three-page chapters could not be better. You could read it as a devotional. We'll be right back. Now, Albin, we didn't make New Year's resolutions.
No. Not
did you?
No.
I didn't either.
No.
But you know what? A lot of people did. And one of them, for some people, is to get out of pain. A lot of people deal with chronic pain. I do, okay? And I would say within a few weeks, almost everybody who is listening, if you're dealing with this, you can get out of pain. Most of you can. Pete and Seth Talbot, that's the father and son owners of Relief Factor, have created the three-week quick start pack of Relief Factor, and they've discounted it to $19.95. So this is a New Year's resolution. You can very likely accomplish getting out of pain, neck pain, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, knee pain, general muscle aches, pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. Honestly, it works for me. That's why I rave about it. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Get the quick start pack, $19.95. You'll know within 3 weeks. Or you can call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. It works.
Hi, this is Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist for the Oxford Club. Just for a moment, I'd like you to picture the perfect stock. No doubt it would have hundreds of billions in revenue, more than IBM, Facebook, and Google. It would probably be a leader in cutting-edge technology like smartphones and robotics. It would be on the verge of dozens of blockbuster announcements. But most of all, it would be ultra-cheap, trading at less than $3 a share. Now, it may seem crazy that such a stock exists, but it does. It's a cutting-edge tech company that has made deals worth hundreds of millions of dollars with Nokia, Microsoft, and Cisco, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. It's set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump even calls it the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of the stock. Why? Because it trades under a secret name. To find out why the secret $3 stock can help you retire, simply go to onestockretirement.com. That's onestockretirement.com.
Hey, folks, where does the profit from your cup of coffee go? Well, you know who Pete and Seth Talbot are. They're the father-son owners of Relief Factor, helping thousands of people get out of pain. I'm one of them. Well, I'm happy to announce, I'm thrilled to announce that Pete and Seth have started a new company, Honor Bound Coffee, premium, fairly traded coffee at a terrific price, but even better, almost amazing, really. They've decided to give 100% of the profits to support and bless military families. That's right. By the way, the coffee is fantastic. No doubt about that. You'll love it. And to start it all off, on your first order, you can buy two bags for the price of one. Now, are there American families more deserving of our appreciation than our military? And let me ask you, where do the profits go from the coffee you drink? Pete and Seth are asking you to help bless and serve military families. Simply go to honorboundcoffee.com, and on your first order, buy two bags for the price of one only at honorboundcoffee.com. Give your family great coffee and give back to our military 100% of the profits. Honorboundcoffee.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
The preacher talked with me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me. Come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life, you're alone. But you ain't got a dime. There's no time for the fool. I just gotta get a message to you.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to the author of 100 Bible Verses That Made America, Robert Morgan. Skipping ahead, right after the Revolution, right after the Constitution, October 26, 1788, the chapter is Kindling the Second Great Awakening. What happened at that point? I know about the First Great Awakening. I know very little about the Second Great Awakening. What kindled it?
Oh, they're both very important. They are twin revivals on either side of the Revolutionary War. And the First Great Awakening paved the way, as we said, for the Declaration of Independence. But, Eric, do you know that after the Revolutionary War, Christianity collapsed in America? People were busy building the new nation. Thomas Paine and the rationalists came in with their teachings. The colleges became basically atheistic. People out in the frontier were too busy. They were going to areas where there weren't churches.
Now, excuse me, you got to say, that's pretty funny that we're talking about the 1780s and colleges became atheistic. Like, we think this happened 5 minutes ago, because I know the story of Yale is that around this time, Timothy Dwight came in and he kind of turned things around. But it's hard for us to think that that long ago, over 200 years ago, that kind of atheist French rationalist thinking came into the universities.
America has been here once before. And it was right after the Revolutionary War. Only 5% of Americans were going to church. And John Jay, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who was a devout Christian, said he thought that Christianity was too far gone to be saved. But then the Second Great Awakening occurred, and it started among students at Hampton-Sydney College. There are really two points of origin. It was like spontaneous fire. But in Hampton-Sydney College...
In Virginia.
Yes. Yeah, near, not too far from Lynchburg, there were two students and then a third who began secretly meeting for prayer. And when it was learned that they were secretly meeting to read their Bible and to pray, there was a riot on that campus. And the president came to see what was happening, and everybody was called before him, and they accused these two or three of having beliefs of deity.
And, I mean, this is unbelievable. This is in 1788?
Yes, and the president said, has it come to this that people cannot pray on this campus? He said, next week you will have your prayer meeting in my office. And that triggered a revival that brought, by the time it was over, nearly all the students at Hampton-Sydney College and all up and down these other schools and the Ivy League schools, they were converted. Now, at the about the same time, roughly, out in the frontier at Cane Ridge near Lexington was another, that was another flashpoint.
In Kentucky.
Yes,
yeah,
in
I've
Kentucky.
Heard a little bit about this. Go
that
ahead.
That was another flashpoint of the Second Great Awakening. There was the revivals on the campuses. J. Edwin Orr talks a lot about this in his writings on revival. And then there was the frontier revival that no one has seen anything like it on the on the frontier. And, you know, they begin meeting together, and soon thousands and thousands and thousands were converging on this campground. And a spirit of revival swept through the frontier. So both along the seaboard and in the frontier, there were these movements, combustion, spontaneous combustion, that really brought America back to God, back to the Bible, back to Christ, and established the morality of the new nation in a way that basically lasted 200 years with the Judeo-Christian mindset.
I mean, it's an astounding thing, you know, that it could have been that godless so long ago. I mean, I guess I'm assuming that the French Enlightenment and the French Revolution had an effect on thinking.
Absolutely.
And we, you know, we can see from now how pernicious it was, in some cases satanic, a bloodbath, and the priests were killed. This is, of course, in France. But the idea that those ideas leapt over here and they were finding purchase until this revival, I think we are ripe in America for a revival. It's easy to say that, but I just have a sense that something is being kindled at this point.
I believe so, too. I would give up on the hope of a revival if it hadn't been for the history. This is why people need to know the history of what God has done in this country. And even today, there are pockets of revival starting, one on an army base in Missouri. In the last few months, hundreds of soldiers have come to Christ under the preaching of a chaplain there, and people are calling that a revival. So I think that if we, and there's a lot of young people right now that are zealous for Jesus Christ. They are counterculturalist in this secular environment.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that we're going to see another great awakening.
I'm glad to hear that, because I do feel that the more we know, the less tenable an atheistic worldview is. The more science we know, you know, you hear the other narrative, but it's simply not true, that science has turned a corner, where I think a lot of scientists are nervous because the science points to the idea of a designer or a creator. And even if you don't like it, you have to say, well, but what do you say to this this evidence? You talk in here about Jedediah Morse, who was at Yale. There's a college at Yale named after him. Tell us about the father of American geography.
He was a pastor, and his son also shows up later in the book, Samuel Morse. But Jedediah Morse was a pastor who preached tremendous sermons. But as a sideline, he was interested in geography. So he began mapping the new nation. And today he is called the father of American geography. And not only did he show the new Americans what their country looked like, but his geography books went overseas. And that's why so many immigrants got a picture of what America was like before they came by studying his geography textbooks. So today, even though he is a pastor, he is known as the father of American geography.
That is extraordinary. And I didn't realize that he was the father of Samuel Morse. In my book on Wilberforce, Samuel Morse was a friend of Wilberforce's. And the more you learn about these connections in history, it is just so moving and interesting. And the more you know, the more you want to know. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to the author of a brand new book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America.
Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
Economic experts warn conditions are ripe for a global recession in 2020. Forbes says 2020s might be the worst decade in U.S. history. J.P. Morgan believes the next global financial crisis will strike in 2020. It's time to take charge of your financial future. It's time to invest in gold. Gold offers security. Noble Gold offers security through precious metals. The experts at Noble Gold have been helping people invest for over 20 years. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Noble does it all, from gold coins to gold and precious metals IRAs. Want to do more with your money in 2020, then go to learnaboutgold.org. That's learnaboutgold.org to receive your free gold guide and custom Learn About Gold video series absolutely free. That's a $99 value, yours absolutely free. Go to learnaboutgold.org and see if you qualify to receive $500 in free silver.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Look for the economy to figure prominently in President Trump's State of the Union address tonight.
The president will spend much of the speech highlighting the economy's strength, including the low unemployment rate, stressing how it has helped blue-collar workers and the middle class. A focus will be the new trade agreements he recently signed. He'll also discuss health care, foreign policy, and national security. The White House hopes the president can reach a broader audience with the primetime address, especially independent voters. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Shadow Incorporated, the company behind the app used by Iowa Democrats to report its caucus results, has apologized in its first public comment about the problems. Meanwhile, Democratic Party officials in Iowa are now planning to release a majority of the delayed caucus results, and that is at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. This is SRN News.
Statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individual results will vary. If you tried to lose weight and failed, it wasn't your fault. According to leading medical experts, when we cut back on how much we eat, our body shifts into survival mode, reducing our metabolism and making us even hungrier. But now, a breakthrough discovery that helps you fight food cravings is available without a prescription. Riduzone uses your body's natural appetite control, a molecule called OEA, to break that cycle. Riduzone is the only product that contains OEA.
I've lost 75 pounds using Riduzone. My husband has lost 50 pounds using Riduzone. Riduzone has made it so that we eat less food, and it has taken away the cravings that we used to have. Riduzone has made it so that I can lose the weight without feeling hungry.
Go to Riduzone.com. Use promo code today to save up to 65% off your order. That's Riduzone.com. Save up to 65% and get free shipping by using promo code today at Riduzone.com. That's Riduzone.com.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky. There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
Hey there, folks. You can tell it's the Eric Metaxas Show by the mellow music. I'm talking to the author of 100 Bible Verses That Made America, Robert Morgan. We're going to keep you through into the second hour, and then we have got John Zmirak coming up. But I just want to get a little more time here because the book is so rich, so filled with so many things. You talk about Patrick Henry. I want to talk about the Haystack prayer meeting. That's like one of these colorful ideas. 1810, June 27th, that's my birthday, 1810. Tell us about the Haystack prayer meeting.
Yeah, this was at Williams College. This is also part of the Second Great Awakening. You know, it swept through the universities, it swept through the colleges. And so there were three students who were praying every week, and they got a burden for overseas evangelism. Now, up to that time, no missionaries had really gone out from American churches. There wasn't an emphasis then on international evangelization. So these three students, Samuel Mills was one of them, the chief of them, the leader of them, they would pray out in the woods, and one day a thunderstorm came, and they found a haystack. And it didn't give them a lot of protection, but they got on the most sheltered side of the haystack. And during that thunderstorm, they had such a burden for taking the message of the gospel to the world that moment is really thought of in American Christian history as the founding of American Protestant Christian missions.
Wow.
And these students went then to their denomination, the Congregationalists, and they said, will you please establish a segment in this denomination with the sending out of missionaries? And so they did that. And the first ones to be sent out were Adoniram Judson and Luther Rice, 1812.
Adoniram Judson.
But it's all traced back. And, Eric, an interesting thing is there is a monument to this now at Williams College.
Wow. Now, Williams is a pretty secular place.
Well,
it's like Yale. It doesn't get too much more secular.
There is a lot of discussion now by groups that want to move that monument from its location and hide it somewhere or put it in a museum or destroy it. But my understanding
is... Are you serious?
I am serious.
At Williams College?
Yeah. Yeah. My understanding is the monument is still there, but it's tenuous. But it It's a commemoration of this famous Haystack prayer meeting during the Second Great Awakening, which was the launching pad for American international missions.
That is astounding. The Haystack. I just love the phrase, the Haystack prayer meeting. It's interesting when you think about students all around campuses in America today. They're Christians at every college. A lot of them are sort of beaten down and, you know, they're sort of hiding. And I just think, my goodness, if they would just gather together and pray for revival on their campuses, you know, God will honor that prayer and he will do things. And he always does.
Yes. And many of them are.
I know it. It's I'm friends with my friend Matt Bennett does something called the Christian Union, and they are at all the Ivy League schools and at a number of other colleges, and they are really praying and fasting, and things are happening. We're going to keep you into the second hour, if you don't mind. Just a joy to have you folks. The book is 100 Bible Verses That Made America. More with Robert Morgan on the other side of the break.
Just all right.